الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad. The title of this khutbah is The Underlying Wisdom in the Delay of Victory. And Bishaykh initiated this khutbah by saying, many questions have become prevalent amongst people and circulated in regards to the abhorrence of the system or the ruling party in Syria, the Nusayris. And the level of you know, criminal behavior and indecency towards those who are weak amongst the people. So much so that the only thing left is for our hearts to, you know, fall apart and tremble upon seeing the bloodshed and the killing of the Muslims. And the questions are as follows. By the way, these questions are no good, okay? These questions, he's saying that these are questions that people are actually asking, but this is not a question that a Muslim actually asks. So don't think this is a valid question. This is an invalid question. But anyways, the question is, where is the mercy of the Most Merciful in regards to those who are weak? And we all know the answer for that one. The second question is, where is the might of the Most Powerful and Irresistible? And where is His punishment for those transgressors? The third question is, how is it that Allah approves of this kind of abhorrence and crime? And then the last question is, how come Allah Azza wa Jal forbids oppression and hates oppression, yet He allows this kind of oppression to take place? The Shaykh said that these are many questions which the people are asking, and in fact, they're being used as means to cast doubt in the hearts of those of weak in Iman in regards to their belief. You know, because the one who doesn't believe enough will actually believe these questions. Say, what's happening? He said, first and foremost, in an effort to respond to these questions, I'm translating. If Allah wills, He would have cast He would have cast fear, horror, into the hearts of these transgressors from day one. Like what happened with the leader of Tunisia. Or Allah would have allowed any one of His relatives or those close to Him, in regards to Bashar of course, to just kill him from the very beginning. Or He would have allowed the Muslims themselves to get a hold of him. Like He did in the case of the ruler of Libya. Or Allah could have just sent a punishment upon him without anyone being involved. Without the means, without the tools of human tools. But Allah Azza wa Jal is all knowledgeable, all wise and well acquainted. And He's all seeing. He arranges affairs per His ultimate wisdom and His immense knowledge. And His ability to do all things. Now, human intellect may get puzzled and may not be able to understand things in the same format. However, this is because of the vast difference between the knowledge of the human beings, which is created, and then the knowledge of Allah, the Creator. It's just that there's no way that someone is going to comprehend something or have more wisdom than the one who created wisdom and gave him wisdom. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes we get full of ourselves and really think, you know, there must be something wrong with Islam. You see, because this thing doesn't make sense. No, your brain doesn't make sense. What Allah revealed is all the sense in the world. You don't understand. Your brain has a problem. Otherwise, if you were to think there's a defect in the deen of Allah, then you're saying that Allah, yani this is, you know what I'm saying. The defect is in our understanding. Had we been submissive enough to Allah, He would have granted us understanding. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Now you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will educate you. Allah will teach you.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا. Oh, you have believed. If you have taqwa of Allah, He will give you the criterion, the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. So it is Allah who gives it to us when we do the right things. If we don't understand something, probably because of sins. Probably because of sins which have made us miscomprehend the deen of Allah, even though there's nothing whatsoever defective in it. Another response, he said, it could be the reason why Allah gives respite, gives a delay, He postpones the punishment of the criminals, is because the Muslims have not actually applied the means to attain victory. Meaning for you, for the Muslims to be victorious, there are steps we have to take. And there are steps which we have not yet taken. In fact, we maybe have not even begun with the very first step, which is the Muslims returning to Allah, as he will mention later on in the khutbah. So we want, basically our mentality is, give. I mean, you know, give me. But we don't want to give anything back. Or we don't want to do anything to get. We just want to get things for free. So basically, Allah Azza wa Jal will allow this to happen so we will understand that there's something that the Ummah has to do. Not just people in Syria. The Ummah has to do at large before this victory is granted to the brothers and sisters in Syria. Thirdly, in the whole process of the battle between the oppressed and the oppressors, behind it there are many wisdoms. Those who know it, and those who don't know it, don't know it. And this is something that is beyond our human intellect, like he mentioned earlier. He said, I will try at any rate to deduce from this whole situation some of the wisdoms behind the delay of victory and not yet punishing the oppressors. And so we will know what's going on. Number one, Allah Azza wa Jal wants to basically cleanse the Muslim ranks. Okay? Yani in other words, Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed that there will some people who will return to Him as martyrs. That's not everybody's privilege. Not everyone is entitled to that particular privilege. So when Allah wants a group of people, or one individual, or a nation, or half a nation, to die as martyrs, and have martyrdom, then Allah will decree that such events happen for them to be honored. I mean, in one way, we look at them and we're saddened over what's happening. But on the other hand, they got the best thing they can get. And we are the ones who still have to struggle in this life. You see what I'm saying? So those who were fighting fi sabilillah, this is a big ni'mah from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that they died in this particular fashion. And then the Shaykh said that, you know, look at our ancestors. You know, the tree of honor of the Muslims basically is nurtured by the blood of the martyrs. And all of the things and all of the expeditions which they had in the past are what brought the honor which we are supposed to be enjoying today. And then he quoted the ayah, and so that Allah may know those who believe amongst you. وَيَتَّقِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدًا. And so He may take amongst you martyrs. And verily Allah does not love the wrongdoers. The second reason why the victory may be delayed is because the foundation of the ummah has not yet matured, is not yet ready. So the ummah, we by the way, just before all these events, we were in total deep sleep. The ummah was totally in deep sleep. There's nothing really that is bringing us together. Muslims have become divided into countries, and every country has a problem with the neighboring country, even though they are Muslims. Huh? Wherever you go in the world, we are confused and lost. And so Allah Azza wa Jal and everybody, and He said all kinds of slogans, ideological slogans are being raised, which actually contradict the aqeedah, which is the most valuable asset. The most valuable asset the Muslims have is their aqeedah. And now we've got shirk in the Muslims, and we got nationalism in among the Muslims. All kinds of things which the Sahaba didn't entertain, which have become our mode of life, are being raised among the ranks of the Muslims. And all of these are unbefitting. And they all contradict Tawheed. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that among the strongest of the strongest knots, the knot of Islam or Iman is that you love for the sake of Allah and that you hate for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of your country. Not for the sake of your citizenship. Not for the sake of I don't know what else. For the sake of Allah, you love the Muslim. And you hate the innovators and the disobedient for the sake of Allah. Not for any other reason. So the Shaykh said, sadly, we see that the Ummah has become divided in the East and in the West. And we treat each other in a manner which opposes what Allah decreed. And what Allah described the believers. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ They're supposed to be, and you humiliate yourself for the believer. In other words, you lower your wing for the believer. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ When full of pride and strength against the disbelievers. Now it's the other way around. It's the other way around. And we have become different and you know our hearts have differed. Thirdly, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants this ummah basically to spend the most valuable thing and to exert itself and to engage in what is going on. And so that nothing will be left out except that it will be spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is, what have we done for the deen? I mean, we're doing a lot of things for the dunya, but what have we actually done for the deen? What have we offered? What have we provided besides watching on the news what's happening? You know, there are channels, by what I mean by channel, not necessarily television channels, even though there are some. There are channels, meaning there are means for you to donate money. There are a lot of things going on with the approval of the government, so no one will think that this is some, you know, under the table kind of stuff. It's all out there where you can help the Muslims in Syria. Many of them who have become refugees in neighboring countries, in Turkey, in Lebanon, in Palestine, and they don't have anything to eat. And they don't have anything to drink. They're living in tents. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the footages on the news. So what have we done? Allah's trying to have the believers reach that limit in spending and helping their brothers in faith. One of the reasons why the victory may be delayed is that the ummah will attach itself more with its Lord. Yani, and it's really sad. It's really sad. You know, some people don't realize what is going on here. We keep depending on Tom, Dick, and Harry. This country, and you know what's sad? Did you know that the Pope, the Catholic Church Pope, donated $100,000 for the people in Syria? Are we supposed to wait for the head of the perverts of the world? The pedophile, the child molesters, the Catholic Church, the most wicked of wicked, to be donating Muslims for Syria? Are we waiting for this kind of guy? And don't you think this is a strategic, political, religious move on his part? Surely, he's not doing it fi sabilillah. He sees that everybody is abandoning the Muslims, so now he wants to get some privilege, so he can look good, say, look what we're doing for the Muslims, to make us even look worse. And so, this is because we've already gone around asking people for things. But the truth is, we shouldn't ask anybody for anything. Don't wait for the United Nations and all this. We already have the one who runs the whole world. But it's sad, even, look, you don't even understand, even the imams in dua, I'm not speaking about this imam, and the imams in dua, they don't even know what they're doing. More than once now I've heard it. We've tried everything, oh Allah, none is left but you. Ya Sheikh, yani you try everything. Everything fails. Then you remembered Allah at the end. We went to the United Nations. They said no. We went, they said no. Oh Allah, there's none left but you. This is shirk. This is the imam of the masjid making dua kunut for people of Syria. He himself needs aqidah 101. The last one you go to is Allah. After everyone fails you, or the first one you go to is Allah. The first one you ask is Allah. Forget about everybody else. People have a twisted aqidah. This is the people who are supposed to be the educators of the Muslims. Don't ask about the average layman who don't know any better. So there's a serious problem in the relationship between the Muslims and the Creator. We don't really understand what it entails. That's why we keep begging everybody else for some assistance. But that shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't wait for this, for other nations to help us. Forget about them. It's all in Allah's control. Allah Azza wa Jal may make the victory take some time. Because in order for the believers to become sincere, And I'm telling you that this is not the case. Many of the things that are happening on the battlefield are fi sabil Surya, not fi sabilillah. 3 days ago, we were invited to a local event here where Syrian people were invited. They are the one who organized this particular event. And they're trying to show us presentations of what's happening in Syria and what is it that we can help and blah, blah, blah. Things like that. And these very organizers themselves, they got munshideen singing nasheed. And they got speakers giving. The whole thing is about, I will spill my blood for you, O Syria. I will do this for karamatik, ya Syria. Ya Sheikh, it's not about Syria, Habibi. It's not about the land. Otherwise, Bilad al-Sham is Syria, wa Lubnan wa Palestine. Why Syria, not Palestine, yani? Where were we when the Palestinians have been suffering for all these years? It's now that Syria became an issue, so you want to die for Syria? You should have died for Bilad al-Sham if you claim to be dying for Bilad. But that is even incorrect. You should die fi sabilillah. It's for Allah, not for Syria, not for the land. And so the very people that are trying to bring people in themselves are calling for nationalism. And of course, I'm a young man. If I were to get up and speak in front of them, they will just throw me out. Say, what do you know? But the truth is, it's bitter. And I asked some of the students of knowledge, said, yes, you're right. This is a major misunderstanding among the people that are trying to bring people in. Of the whole poem is about Syria, 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 Fidaki, Baladi, Watani. Yeah, Sheikh, Khalas. It's for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is Jihad fi Sabilillah, not for Syria. So there's a major, major critical misunderstanding in this regard. So the people, the Prophet Ali, listen, he was asked, O Messenger of Allah, a man fights because of excitement. Because of, he's excited because some emotionalism. Hamiya is like emotionalism. Someone was hurt, something is just revengeful. And another man fights out of bravery. He's a brave man, he likes to be engaged in warfare. And a third one fights in order to be seen. He's showing off. Which one of these is fi sabilillah? Which one is for the sake of Allah? Pay attention. He said, the one who fights for the word of Allah, يعني Islam, لتكون العليا, so that it may be the one above and the utmost, then this is fi sabilillah. Not the one who's fighting for land or for emotionalism or out of revenge or to be seen or to be brave. None of these will be counted as fi sabilillah until kalimatullah takun al-ulya. And kalimatullah is not Syria, nor is it Palestine, nor is it Afghanistan. It is the deen of Islam and whatever it entails. Not restricted to any geographical location, even though this place may have a virtue over another. The victory may be delayed in order for the falsehood which the Ummah has been fighting to become clear and evident. And so we may know who our real enemies are. Because many Muslims until now are deceived. They really don't know who the enemies are. They still think that, you know, the Jews and the Christians, the ones that Allah spoke about, were the ones at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. As for today, they became our best friends. Huh? It doesn't apply to today. And they say, no, it's not really. Allah says, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى. There's one thing, one way. Neither the Jews nor the Christians will ever be pleased with you. حَتَّى. Until. What do you think it is? You give him some money? You tell him 50-50? No. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow them completely. Until you follow their religion. Until you declare your innocence from Islam. You apostatize. You leave Islam and you say, I'm a Christian. Then and only then they will say, welcome. Until then, they will only try to bring you in and have you sacrifice and compromise more and more of your deen. Some people still don't believe that, even though the Quran is explicit. Or it could be that Allah delays the victory so that those oppressors will be completely exposed. Some people are doubtful about their evil. With the passage of time, it has become clear to everyone in the world how evil these individuals are. It's no longer a secret. Victory may be delayed in order for Allah Azza wa Jal to punish the transgressors and His soldiers. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in regards to that, and Allah wants to bestow His favors upon those who have been weak in the land. And so that we may make them the leaders and we make them the inheritors. And we can give them authority upon earth. Then we shall make Fir'aun and Haman and their soldiers see that which they have been trying to avoid. And of course we have the modern Pharaoh of today, the leader of Syria. So Allah Azza wa Jal is letting, preparing the situation for the believers to take over and for these individuals to face exactly what they've been trying to avoid. But they cannot avoid it for long. He said, and this is the way of Allah Azza wa Jal with everyone who resembles Fir'aun in his methodology. Fir'aun used to say to the people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord, your Most High. مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي, I don't know of any other gods besides me. And this guy says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا بَشَّارٌ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ يَا عَنِي. He will say, what is this insanity? His soldiers make the people make sujood. They bring a picture of him and they will make the people make sujood for him. One of the believers, when he told them make sujood, he spat on him. He spat on the picture. Jazahullahu khayran. Wa'awadahullahu khayran. This is the reality, man. There's another Fir'aun in our time. And it's going to happen to him sooner or later, inshallah. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, and do not be weak in seeking after the people, meaning the enemy. If you are suffering pain, then they are suffering like you are suffering. But you hope to get from Allah that which they do not hope for. And never is Allah all knowledgeable and all wise. Yani the suffering is equal. It could be in a sense that not necessarily physically. But the agony, I mean, can you imagine someone sitting in his home? He's responsible for killing 10,000 plus people or more. And what kind of fear? He can't even trust his wife. He can't trust his relatives. Because anyone can flip on him any day. I mean, you probably cannot enjoy a glass of water. And the whole thing about him going to iTunes and shopping some you know, stuff. Perhaps, Wallahu A'lam, is part of the game they're trying to play that I don't have any problems. I'm chilling. I'm okay. I'm not scared. No way he's not scared. There's no way that he probably can't even go to the bathroom. Because of the situation, he knows the whole world is out to get him. And so, you know, that is enough suffering for someone. Subhanallah. And among the last reasons, before we go to the second khutbah, is that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show the honor of the truthful ones, the true believers who continue to struggle in this cause. Now quickly we will enumerate them because this is taking a little longer than usual. From the wisdoms behind the delay of victory or punishing the transgressors, is that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show us the outcome of wrongdoing. So Allah says, so look how was the end of the wrongdoers, and look how was the end of the corruptors, and look how was the end of the criminals. So there's lessons to reflect on how their end shall come about. Excuse me. From among them is that we know who the hypocrites are. The exposing of the hypocrites. People that have been hiding and you can't really tell where they stand. Now it became evident on whose side they are. And there are people siding with them. Among their ulama as-su, or as they call them, ulama as-sulta, is this guy al-Buti. Many people don't know about this Buti, but he had some books before which he had authored and some people were deceived by him. Now this guy is pro-government. And can you imagine a Muslim mufti in the world is saying, mafi mushkila, let these people die. Let the government remain in charge. Yani, what Islam is this that someone has? Before, his card was hidden, now his card has been exposed. So those who have his books, you can burn them up if you want. Among the wisdoms of Allah Azza wa Jal delaying this, is that Allah shows us the excellence of Islam. You see, all of these people have been governing and ruling by other than the Kitab and the Sunnah. And nothing worked out. Everything is meant to fail at some point in time. They tried all the laws of Western countries and the same result is failure, failure, failure. Only in a place where the Kitab and the Sunnah are the governing force, where you will find tranquility and security and a peace of mind. Because there's a relationship between the scholars and the rulers, and there's a reference to the Quran and the Sunnah, and the people are educated in this sense. If that is not the case, then it's bound to fail. And among the last reasons is that we will know, among the Western world, those who are overly obsessed with the Western world and look at their culture, look at their justice, look at what they're really about. All they do is talk. All they do is talk. When there was a benefit for them, they have a, you know, what is it called? A primitive attack? Huh? Forgot the word. Preemptive. Whenever necessary, they go in first. Now all these people dying, you know, we take it easy and yeah, this is not good. Now it's only talk. Can you imagine if this happened to Israel, what would the reaction be? It'd be something totally different. Wouldn't be waiting that long. So these people, just come on, keep it real, guys. You have to know who you're dealing with. We ask Allah to guide them all to Islam. But at the end of the day, we can't be fools. We cannot be fools, and we cannot just be kissing up to people so we can make them happy. Let's just find our honor in Islam. Otherwise, there's no honor for us whatsoever. Lastly, to know the truth of the Rafida, the rejectionists, huh? Who many have been deceived by them. Many Muslims have been deceived by them. Now, it's everybody knows that the people there are getting support from Iran and from Lebanon, from among the Shia of these countries. It's done. Everybody knows that. Look at this. They are the ones behind killing the Sunnis. That's why you would say, who would kill children? Who would kill children so viciously? Only someone who believes this is deen. Even the Jews didn't do this to the Palestinians. The Jews didn't do this to the Palestinians. No one would do this except someone with aqidah that you should eradicate Ahl Sunnah. Because they think that this is halal for them to kill the Sunni, An-Nasibi. This is halal in their deen. They go after him. And so you know who they are. Stop, you know, being, you know, compassionate towards them and what have, and sympathizing with them. They're fooling the people. They are, their deen is lies. They have a front. Everything is taqiyya, front. And if you don't know the deen and you don't know the aqidah, you may be easily deceived by them. The last reason, which I will quote, is the sins of the Muslims. Yep. What we do here delays the victory there. Each one of us has his own individual responsibility towards rectifying the condition by abandoning sins and repenting to Allah. Our involvement and engagement in sin is aiding in the continuity of this oppression and the delay of victory. We have our own individual responsibility. Allah says, and if Allah willed, He would have defeated them. But in order to test you, in order to test you amongst each other, and those who were killed in the cause of Allah, He will not make their deeds go to waste. All you have believed, if you aid the deen of Allah, He will aid you and keep your feet firm. So at the end he said, the question is, he said, the Nasr, the victory is coming, no doubt. Because Allah promised it. Allah Azza wa Jalla promised the victory. The question is, you ask yourself, I ask myself, are we deserving of this victory? Do I deserve this victory? Have I done what necessitates this victory? And what is my role in this whole battle? What is it that I've provided? What is my stand and what is my stance? Am I for dunya? Everything is dunya investment. Is there anything that we're doing for Islam and for the Muslims? These are serious questions that need serious answers and some reflection and some prioritizing. No one is saying don't live your life, but don't live your life so that you don't have time for your deen. And we must understand, the priority is sacrificing for Islam. It could be your time, it could be your money, it could be your skills, it could be whatever Allah gave you. Each one has his own role to play. But whatever Allah gave you, make sure that there's a segment, if not the larger proportion, to Islam. To service Islam and the deen, and whatever is left, alhamdulillah, enjoy what is halal of the dunya, because the real enjoyment is in the life to come. If we don't have this formula, then we will not be able to succeed as an ummah. And so, you know, with that, we conclude the khutbah translation. Jazakumullah khair for your patience. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.